We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From Learfield IMG College, this is the Aggie Coaches Show with Coach Gary Anderson, brought to you by America First Credit Union. Financial solutions for every need. Bryant Heating and Cooling. Whatever it takes. SC Needham Jewelers. Where Utah gets engaged. And by Wingers. They're freaking amazing. Here's the voice of the Aggies, Scott Girard.
Welcome on back. You're listening to the Gary Anderson Coaches Show right here on the Aggie Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. His coach tries to get his hearing back. How you doing?
Oh, I'm fine now.
Yeah. My man blew my ears out, but I'm good.
There you go. All right, so we got a lot to talk about. Crazy ending, crazy game in Fresno. You get out of there with a W. That's the first time I'd been in that stadium. I didn't know you had to walk all that way just to get to a locker room.
Yeah, but it used to be a lot worse back in the day when they didn't have that little down the ramp. They didn't have the little cover over it, right? So you went about, instead of 300 yards of people yelling at you, you went about 600 yards of people yelling at you. That got worse and worse the closer you got in the stadium. So, yeah, it's quite the ramp.
They probably said some interesting things, too, along the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I talked to Pat Hill the night before, and we were talking. It was a funny story. So we were sitting and communicating, talking to him down in the hotel lobby, and he said, you know, the worst part about that was they've covered that up where the fans go down, but I like it now better because, you know, I don't get yelled at as much. He gets the radio and all the stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, you used to get yelled at, Coach? And he told me a story. He said, yeah, Kellen Moore was the quarterback at Boise State. Boise State beat him in a close game, and Kellen, he talked to him after the game. And so they walked up there, up the tunnel together, and Kellen was like, man, these fans are always on me when I come here. And he says, come and walk with me and let me see how it goes for you for me when I go back up this tunnel. And I guess he just got crushed. So they're passionate fans. Let's just put it that way.
So I know there's a lot of people wanting to know about how that game went down, and certainly some big performances down the stretch. And we'll talk to Aaron Dalton, who was on the hold on that kick, and some of the things that went down. But, you know, fourth quarter – and it's going back and forth, and it looks like Fresno's got all the momentum offensively, and then your offense is clicking as well. Are these the kind of games from a sideline? I mean, I'm enjoying calling it. I know a lot of people are enjoying watching it. What's it like watching a crazy back-and-forth game from your perspective when you're just hoping guys can hold on and make a play or two?
Yeah, every game takes on its own personality, and you know, it was awesome to see the offense get up and roll, right?
Yeah.
That was great for us, and it was they picked a great day to do it in a conference game in that setting, that situation. And, you know, defensively, we were struggling against a very good offense. I don't think we can forget that. Coach Tedford is a great play caller. He's a great strategy guy during the game, prior to the game. And they have some really good players. And they did some nice things. And I think the quarterback is exactly what I thought he was before the game. He's a gamer.
Yeah.
He makes plays. But it's definitely hectic. You try to, you know, you want to keep one side of the ball, get them, hey, how do we get it a little better? What adjustments can we make? What can we do to do some things to get us out of drives and, you know, have them punt the ball or just simply try a field goal in the red zone would have been nice also. And we had a hard time getting that done. And then, you know, the offense was clicking and rolling. And then we got up 14. Then they reel us back in the third quarter. We come back. And I was just really proud. To me, that whole game just kind of puts the whole season together for this group of kids. They're tough and they're together. And it took toughness and it took togetherness to get through that moment and those settings and the situation, especially when, you know, you go for it and there was never any woe is me. There wasn't anybody who felt panicked. They just kept on playing. And it's a credit to the kids to battle through it. It's hectic as a coach, but you just try to make good decisions and educated decisions that allow them to be able to have a chance or the best chance to win the football game. And that's your job as a coach at that time.
Well, I've told you a few times, I'm always fascinated by the decision-making process, and it's a lot easier to talk about it now since you won the game, but, you know, you send the field goal unit out there, it looks like you're going to go for the field goal and go for the two-point lead at that point from the one-yard line, and then you shift gears and send the offense back out. What was that conversation like?
Well, we kind of went back and forth, and there was a lot being discussed earlier in the drive as far as if we do score a touchdown, you want to go for two to get the lead up to the touchdown because we've been up by five, then we got up by seven if we go by two. And
yeah.
So those discussions were taking place. And then, you know, getting to the situation to where it was fourth down, we communicated about it a little bit. We thought it would get definitely reviewed so we would be able to hopefully buy some time, you know, set the field goal team out there. And we did get in a spot where obviously the clock will stop so we could communicate about it, which we felt pretty good that was going to take place at that point. And then it wasn't really, you know, once the time stopped and we were in that position, it was let's go for this thing and see. And this, the thought process was if we kick a field goal, we've struggled to stop them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've just got to kick a field goal now and they go ahead at least. They not beat us, but they go ahead again. If we do get stopped right there, then they've got to turn around and we've got a chance that they'll run the ball more so than throw the ball. So that was the mindset.
They're far less aggressive offensively.
No doubt. They're gonna pound the ball at you and try to keep that clock rolling and make you burn the rest of your timeouts and away you go. And you know, then they walk off the field with a 1-point victory. So you know, good communication, I thought, with the staff in that scenario, the situation, to just, you know, put it all out there on the table, discuss it, figure it out. And, you know, I figured we would go for that, and we want to get it. We didn't, but it all worked out, and it was just some great plays made, you know, by the offense when they got the ball back after we got that stop and they had to punt. There were some really good things the offense had to do, but the play that was made by, you know, Jacoby and Chris on the third down was fantastic. And the play by Shaq on second down, to, you know, he didn't make it by, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 inches.
Yeah.
And then we're able to make a huge play. So it's just, again, it's a credit to the kids to just keep on battling. They're together. They have a tight fist. I ask them to just, you know, keep a tight fist, and the coaching staff's done a great job. Just stay together, keep on fighting and battling. It's never been a problem for this team. It was fun to see it.
Well, and you know, and you get two guys, and you're hard-pressed to find two guys that epitomize Utah State football more than Chris Unga and Jacoby Wildman. And those are the two guys that made the biggest play of the game.
No doubt. Two seniors and in a spot to where, you know, they made a great play. And Chris knocked that guy back and got the tangled up feet there a little bit with the running back. And, you know, next thing you know, here comes Jacoby to smack him. And, you know, Jacoby, one thing Jacoby's never going to do is lack any effort to the ball. Now, it was right tight in the line of scrimmage right there, but that kid, he's going to come after you with a purpose every single day. So it's great to see those seniors make those plays in those moments. And, when that kick went through, you know, I think we all feel very good when that goes through. I've said it all year long that those kids are special teams is going to win us games. And quite frankly, special teams has played a major factor in why we're 4-1 in conference, an absolutely huge factor. You go back in the San Diego State, the field goals. You know, you go back to obviously the game winner there plus the field goals. You go the same, it was the same thing. Colorado State, huge plays. Kickoff return for a touchdown. I mean, it's been gigantic, and it's awesome to see those special teams kids be involved in a positive way.
I mean, you said it back in spring. I remember having a chat with you that Dominic Eberle will win us a game or two this year.
Yep. And he's probably already done that, right?
Yeah.
He's one's a game winner, but you can't forget what took place in San Diego State, I said. And, you know, those four field goals in that game were absolutely huge and gave us a chance to be able to get a victory there. And, yeah, that's two tough places to go play football games and win, going to Fresno and win and going to San Diego State and win. And he was a huge part of that, which I figured he would be. And, you know, that's a trio. We can't ever forget that. We've got those three guys out there together that are definitely a unit, and they're a three-headed monster when they go out there, and that three-headed monster expects to do the Aggies well, and they've done that.
I've always, you know, it's always nice to give love to the holder and the long snapper too, because more often than not, the only time you call out their names is when something bad happens.
No doubt. And that's, you know, Aaron's done such a great job of just accepting that role, and yeah, he'd like to be back there punting that football more than anybody knows, but it hasn't taken that place. He's been a great mentor. He's here tonight. He deserves to be here. He's a huge part of this football team, and, you know, he's the one that put that snap in the perfect spot because the kick couldn't have been – I mean, those goalposts could have been 6 feet wide and it would have gone right down the middle of
it. Yeah. Can't ask for a better kick than
you
that.
You could not.
Also on the final drive, too, a lot of composure. You ran the ball well.
Yep.
Jordan was careful with the football. No turnovers in that game, and I know as a defensive-minded coach, that's something that really means a lot to you, knowing that you were you had a good third-down percentage in that game and you didn't turn the ball over.
It really does, and, you know, it's late in those games, in those settings, in the scenarios when we've needed it, we've been able to get those yards, you know, running the football fairly effective. And you go back to Colorado State, we did it. We got ourselves in the position to run the ball down there in the fourth quarter and run it. San Diego State, same thing. We came back down and had a chance to it was good. We ran the ball, right?
Yeah. There you go. We'll leave it there.
So we won the game. Yeah. So we're all good. And, you know, this game was the same. We were able to execute, get ourselves down in the position. The kids held their composure and, you know, just, again, kept on fighting. And their eyes were right. And it's really gratifying as a coach to see the kids in that position and just keep on battling with each other and keep on fighting. I can't even really explain what that feeling's like, but it's very gratifying to see a bunch of kids that it doesn't matter what's in front of them, it doesn't matter what they face, they're going to keep on battling, and because they're so tight, they're just so tight together, and it's awesome to see, and it's an awesome feeling.
You and I mentioned this a little bit after the game too. The lessons you take from individual games and hold on to them and then go back to those when you're dealing with some adversity later on in the season or later on in somebody's career. Yeah. These are moments that you can reference and say, that happened there. I can take that. I can do this because I know I've already done it before.
No doubt. And that's, you know, football comes down to a lot of times it's a play here, it's a play there. And, you know, I told the kids today after the game, just make sure you understand after practice, the details, and our coaches do a great job of coaching the details and mentally stay within the details. But on a Thursday practice, you don't know what that play is that's going to make that game go your way.
Yeah.
And we've had four of them in conference that there's been a play here or a play there, some fantastic individual efforts, some details that we've studied, that we've worked with the kids to make sure they understand, the kids execute them, that wins football games. And you're right, you can take from the bad, you can take from the good. We've learned a lot from our losses also.
Well, I think there was some concern there coming off of last year when, and I know you don't want to get into strengths and weaknesses of teams within the conference, but there were a lot of people that thought, okay, you just replaced UNLV, San Jose State, and Hawaii with Fresno State, Nevada, and San Diego State. I mean, that's a rough trade-off, and you went 3-0 in those games.
Yeah, and, you know, looks like I imagine all three of those guys are going to find their way into bowl games, and it's crazy how many teams in this league are going to be bowl eligible as we move through. But those are three good football teams. They have some proven wins, and we were able to get victories against them, and those are quality opponents, and we knew they were going to be tough games, and they all proved out to be tough football games.
Well, I got to imagine if we go back to August and I say, Coach, you went 2-0 in Fresno and San Diego State.
Yes.
You're like, bam, let's take it.
let's do it. That's not easy to do.
All right, we'll take a break, come back. We'll take a closer look at the Wyoming Cowboys, what to expect from that team as Craig Bull's team rolls into Logan. Also, a little bit later on, you have a chance to ask Coach a question. And, of course, we look forward to catching up with some of the players as well. Riley Burt's hanging out with us as well as Aaron Dalton. As we're live here at Wingers, it's your Gary Anderson Coaches Show from Learfield IMG College. It's also your chance to show your Aggie pride at any Wingers location. Use your Aggie Visa card to pay for your meal and receive a free dessert. Plus, you'll be entered to win an Aggie football package, including tickets to the next home game. Stop by any USU or Golden West Credit Union branch to pick up your Aggie Visa card. I don't know how much this guy deserves it, but congratulations to Randy Robbins.
He wins everything.
On being selected
like every day
as this week's winner, USU Credit Union. Randy will be reaching out to you to redeem your prize. Go Aggies. This is the Gary Anderson Coaches Show from Learfield IMG College. Welcome on back. You're listening to the Gary Anderson Coaches Show. Live here at Wingers. Love for you to come by and hang out with us here in the Cache Valley Mall as Utah State gets set for a showdown against the Wyoming Cowboys. Wyoming's a really interesting team, and they've changed a little bit with the quarterback injury, but this is a team defensively that you played some really good defensive teams this year, Coach. I think Wyoming might be right up there with the best of them.
They are. The numbers would say that, and you throw on the tape, and it would say that also. Very aggressive defense. They like to play man coverage. In fact, that's their favorite. If you ask their corners what coverage they want to play, I'm sure they would say man coverage. They do a nice job of disguising different types of blitzes, especially in the, you know, third down scenarios. So you're going to have to earn your way. It's a very aggressive defensive front that gets after the quarterback, and the number of sacks that they have on there would show that. So, you know, this defense has been built within their system for, I think this is Craig's sixth year. So,
yeah.
You know, they've done a nice job of building it and getting it where it needs to be. And offensively, they're a team that's you know, wants to run the ball and be physical, and they want to pound you, and they want to wear you out, and they do a pretty nice job with that. They always had the quarterback injury. This quarterback has played a lot. It's not like they're bringing in a freshman that's never played before. This guy's had a ton of plays. He started a lot of games for him, and he's a good football player as well. So we'll definitely have our hands full with the Cowboys.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Boys, and their record shows they're a good team, and the film shows that also.
So Sean Chambers was the quarterback that played a lot, and he's your second-leading rusher on this team, even though he's missed a couple games and will miss the remainder of the season. But it's interesting, Tyler Vanderval comes in, and they don't use him as much in the designed running game as they did with Chambers, correct?
Correct, yeah, and it's, potentially throw the ball a little bit more and get the ball moving around. The run game is a little bit different. It's more of a, I guess, more of a running back flavor of a run game. Instead of really designed around the quarterback, they really, you know, like the other kid to get out and run the ball, and he's an extremely good athlete. So if you remember, he came in last year watching film. I saw that, and they came into the Utah State game last year, and you know, gave him a really good chance to win the game. And we have to, you know, this is a team, and this is the defense, this is the structure that, you know, we need to go out and produce on the offensive side and say, hey, you know what, we can play against man coverage. And on defense, we need to play a heck of a lot better than we did a week ago. If we do that, we'll be in a very, very good football game. We'll have a great opportunity to have a victory. If we don't, it'll be a struggle. So I'm excited to watch this test because I know our kids are excited about it. I know the coach has done a great job of preparing, but it will be a huge test.
So when you're up against a defense, and you go back to last year, Wyoming, Colorado State, those are the defenses, Boise State, that that offense last year struggled against, and then they kind of set the blueprint for some of the things that teams have thrown out against you this year. So when you look at what you want to do, and you don't have to go into too many X's and O's and give your game plan, but do you change a little bit who you are schematically, or do you just say, we just need to execute better?
No, I think, well, you definitely look and say, okay, how are we going to – you know, structurally get better at beating man coverage, regardless of the opponent. And that's gone on. That's the staff's not – I'm not doing that. The staff's doing a great job of getting that done on the offensive side of the football, and they'll work out a plan. And that starts with, you know, it starts with protection. It starts with the routes being to say, hey, this is how long we're going to be able to hold on to that football. And we've talked about it many times. Jordan knows he's going to have to get that ball out fast. That's what this offense is about. Secondly, it's about what do we do well as an offense. And then thirdly, it's about getting the ball to your playmakers. And then finally, it's about adjusting the scheme to not burden the kids with slowing down their feet, again, because their brain is cluttered, but to add a couple wrinkles that'll make us be a better football team. And I think we've really done that the last 2 weeks on offense with the addition of the empty stuff, some of the fly sweep stuff, and we'll continue to build on that, that it makes us a better offense and it gives you a chance to get the hands in the ball, the playmakers. Last week, COC caught 11 passes. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you want to see in those opportunities, is give your playmakers a chance to make plays. And that's what, you know, good coaches do, and we have good coaches, and they're going to figure out the ways to be able to get that done. So that'll be the challenge. But again, we haven't cracked that code, whatever that combination is, to be able to say, hey, it's man coverage, we're going to line up and we're going to take advantage of it. We haven't cracked it, and you know, you mentioned it's gone on for a while around here, so we need to find a way to be able to get that done.
you know, also too, their defense is they're about average as far as creating turnovers, but offense, but their turnover margin is plus 10 yes. because their offense doesn't turn it over. They've only turned it over yeah. five times this year.
Possess the ball very, very well, right? And I think that's kind of the MO of the team. It's we're going to grind this thing out. We're going to pound you. We're going to, you know, take care of the football. And, you know, on defense, it's kind of really is a surprise to me as many free hitters and as many sacks as they have, because a lot of those sacks that they have, I mean, they're hitting the quarterback right in the back of the head. And because there's a lot of different kinds of blitzes that they do. And I like the way they play defense. They line up. It's high risk, high reward. So, but they've done a great job in the area of turnovers. There's no doubt. And they've been good in the red zone.
So a lot of what they do with those blitzes, also confusion too. Sounds like they're coming from all over the place.
They are, and they'll come up and they'll put six guys on the line of scrimmage and strategically place out. If you've got four wide receivers out there, they're obviously going to have somebody out there covering those guys down, so that takes you to 10. And then there's one more guy out there that's going to be roaming around to, you know, put you in a position to be a safety or wherever he's going to go. And it's not just the one blitz they run, it's the combination of all the blitzes. And I remember when I was a defensive coordinator, I heard that all the time. It was like, you know, as the year goes on, it gets harder to prepare because there's a new blitz, and the new blitz. Well, what the offensive line coaches are going to sit down there, and Coach Woods is sitting there on Tuesday night looking at every single one of them saying, which one are we going to do? And that's where you can't get overwhelmed. You've got to look at it and say, okay, we'll find a way to be us and not worry about what they're going to do, because you know they're going to have something different. It's a good scheme. But you have to prepare against a good scheme. Then you got to beat a good scheme and give kids a chance. And I think we'll get that done.
How do you feel like your offensive line performed last week against Fresno?
Good, good. You know, they protected the passer much, much better. Jordan did his job of getting rid of the ball on time, and his receivers caught the ball on time, which in turn really helps an offensive line to be able to say, hey, you know, this ball is going to get out. We didn't have batted down balls, so that means they're doing a nice job of keeping those hands down where they need to be. And, you know, I think the run game, you always want to look, and everybody wants to look and say, at one play, we're on the 6-inch line, you can't score. Well, you can't judge a whole football game by one play. And we did run the ball effectively at times. We know who we are. I think the offensive staff, again, is doing a great job, and so are the kids, of adapting and understanding, okay, this is who we are. This is what we can do good, so let's make sure what we do good, we work like crazy to be great at it. And, you know, I think I've seen great improvement with those kids, and they cycle through. They're hard workers. There's grinders. They can take tough coaching, and, you know, TJ's going to coach them hard, and it's just this. A youth is not going to be an excuse for him ever, and it's not going to be an excuse for those kids. And they battled through it, and they've grown up. And every single week, I just see steps being taken in a positive way. Now they will be challenged, very, very, very big challenge this week, and I know they're excited about it.
I know we talked about the stop at the 1 yard line, but you had three drives. Well, I'm going to count the one at the 21 on the 21-yard run by Bright as a touchdown in the red zone. I know technically it's not.
Yep.
But you had two other drives finished with touchdowns in the red zone, yes. Which is something I know this team struggled with this year.
Yep, it is. It was great to see them get those touchdowns. And, you know, you always want to score them all touchdowns. That's not realistic. But to get into the spot to where we were much, much closer to where we expect to be as an offense and where the kids expect to be and the coaches expect to be. And, you know, you need to score points. And that's the name of the game. We have the offense that we have. You know, you need to be able to stay on the field, click it down the field. If you're going to get off the field quick, then we've got to score quick.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's how we play, and that's how we've worked this whole year to get those kids in that position. And it was good to see them get in the red zone and punch some of those in the end zone for sure.
So if you're a fan of the college football over the last, you know, and if you're probably, you know, in your 30s or 40s, you remember Rocket Ishmael. His son's playing for Wyoming.
Yes.
How's that for a blast from the past there, Coach?
Yeah, yeah. And, I'm 42, so I remember that.
I just turned 43, so
there you go. Yeah. Yes, and he's out there on the field running around. And
does he have his dad's top-end speed there?
I don't know. I don't know how he's fast. I don't know. His dad was obviously, he was the Rocket, right?
Yep.
So I don't know if he's that fast. He'll probably say he is. If the kid was sitting right here, he'd probably say I'm faster than dad.
Looks like they don't use them much in the run game, but passing, and again, you look at their receiving yards, it's interesting because, I mean, they're not Wyoming, or I mean Air Force, in terms of not throwing the football, but there's not a lot of pass attempts there.
Yeah.
They really keep it on the ground.
Well, they do, and they want to be physical, and their identity is to be a power football team, and you know, they're going to run power at you. They're going to run counter at you. They're going to bring in sometimes as many as three tight ends and pound you with those three tight ends and get after you. And then they'll spread it out a little bit. And, you know, last week they made some big plays in the Boise game and the throw game. And, you know, it kept them right there in the game. And that game went back and forth. And they were. were toe-to-toe with Boise. Now, it was a physical battle on both sides of the football, and there was not a whole bunch of give and take, and obviously there was one field goal that was give and take at the end that won it for Boise State. So it's a good, tough physical test for this football team also with this Wyoming team coming in here.
How do you coach physicality?
Well, the best way to coach physicality, in my opinion, first, it all starts in the off season. Yeah. So that's number one.
Probably number one is recruit physicality.
It is, but you can build. We're a developmental program. Yeah. And we love to say that we are a developmental program. So I think a lot of that goes right back to the physicality part. It comes with confidence. Our goals, and this is a crazy goal, it's not an easy goal to obtain, but, with the football teams, when we've ever been at our best, we've had 30 kids that can squat 500 pounds, and we've had 30 kids that can bench 225 pounds 20-plus times. And that's where we want to be. I think that makes you a physical football team. I think when you practice and you're that strong, you don't have a choice to not be physical, because you're going to tap out because you're going to get beat up every single day. And
yeah.
A lot of coaches say, hey, you'll make the game easier because we're practicing against the best guys and our guys are good and all this stuff. And I agree with that. When you play against good players during the week, it's a little bit easier on game day. But when you play against physical players during the week, it's a little bit less physical on game day a lot of the times. And so I think that physicalness is toughness. Toughness is confidence within your scheme and your teammates, and that grows. And I think it's the off season that does it. And then how you practice throughout the year. We still go 9-on-9 for 5 minutes every single week, and that's the offensive line against the defensive line in the run game, basically. And we do 1-on-1 wide receiver DBs. We do a team pass situation. We do a team run situation, good on good, ones on ones, and not as much as we do on the first 4 weeks of the season, but we're pounding that hard now. So you have to keep that physicality edge, especially with the young crew. You want them to keep not losing their technique playing against good people.
Is that fairly unique?
No, I don't think that's fairly unique. I think we're we try to be as careful as we can. It's not unique to me. It's always been like that. We've been as an assistant or as we've always tried to keep that identity. And but you got to remember, I grew up under Coach Mack, so that means you're gonna bang around. I mean, that's the way it was, and I played for him. So
eat what you kill.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So that's an interesting point too, and I think it's when you create a culture and the culture of physicality and toughness, and sometimes once you as coaches install that, then the players just kind of feed off each other, correct?
And you try to hire coaches that have that too, right? I mean, TJ was with Rocky Long, right, for a long time. And TJ grew up in, that's the offensive line coach. And, Bo-J and Al, the defensive line coach. Justin N is a tough guy. So I think it's kind of how you, and every coach says they're a tough guy, but are they really a tough guy? I don't know. But we'll try to always hire, that a little bit of some toughness in there to install it and instill that into the kids' hearts and keep them grinding. But It's a learned behavior. I think you have to be a tough team to win a championship. You have to be a physical team, obviously very talented, and sometimes the ball has to roll your way. But yeah, I think you have zero chance to be an effective football team if you're not tough-minded and your physicality is up where it needs to be able to help you be able to win a championship.
Coming up, we'll hear from you. If you've got questions for Coach, we'd love to hear from you. Get your thoughts as the Aggies get set for a showdown against Wyoming coming up this weekend. Also coming up a little bit later on, a chance to hear from the student-athletes as well. You're listening to the Gary Anderson Coaches Show from Learfield IMG College. Back, you're listening to the Gary Anderson Coaches Show from Learfield IMG College. Scott Gerard hanging out with Coach Gary Anderson coming up here in a bit. We'll chat with Aaron Dalton as well as Riley Burt as a chance to catch with those young men. It was funny, you and I were talking a little bit about special teams, and I thought you had some youngsters really stepped up. Enoch Niwahine, I thought, was one of those guys that came in and made a couple of big plays on special teams on some tackles.
Yeah, Enoch came in, did a good job. Clayle Nevis came in and did a good job also, too. Young freshman came in, ran down there on the kickoff team. And, Enoch is moving into doing some really good things. I think he's going to be a special back. He's going to be a special player. And he's one of those guys where he said, okay, now do we redshirt him or do we not?
Yeah.
And we did it. And we did it for the reason because he needs those reps to be able to get into a position. Is he going to get in there and play at running back? No. We've got, Riley's here tonight. You got G. Bright, and obviously you got Jalen. But Enoch's opportunity to be able to be involved in special teams will really help him grow. And he's playing a bunch on special teams that allow him to get into spring ball and understand what he needs to do with his body, right?
Yeah.
He's another one of those kids. I coached his daddy. back in the day a million years ago. So Enoch needs to look a little bit more like Riley when Riley takes off his shirt than more like his daddy. Enoch's still got that little baby fat on him we need to get off. I hope he's listening to me and he's not eating some white rice right now too.
But, you know, it's funny because, you know, you talk about special teams and guys making their way. That's where a lot of these guys are going to cut their teeth a little bit with this team.
There's no doubt. And there's nothing like winning a fight and being in a fight and giving you a better opportunity to be productive within a fight. And that's exactly what those kids get when they're in those positions. And they get coached just exactly the same way on special teams that they're going to get coached by a position here. And that's Coach Collins. And he's going to coach them hard. And every coach is going to be involved. And you can't hide on special teams. You know, some places I guess maybe you can a little bit hide on special teams because it's not as important as the offense and the defensive side. But that's not the case. He's all over them. He's all over the coaches to make sure that they are doing the right things. And that gives a kid like Enoch an understanding, you know, of A.J. Carter is another example. Yeah. He's another true freshman that's come in. Those kids are in his office, in Coach Collins' office, at 1:30 every single day looking at their special teams tapes. I don't think that happens at very many places in the country. I could be mistaken again, but I don't see that happening all over the place. Those kids are begging to get on those special teams, and that's, again, it's a credit to Coach Collins and the young kids wanting to compete and play. Mm-hmm.
All right, it's time for your chance to ask questions, let your voice be heard. We got a question over here. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, you have the cutest kids in the world.
Thank you very much. I agree. When we're lining up for that field goal, I think I bet everyone I knew $1 million we were going to miss it. And I just couldn't think of anything else.
Well, we do have a past, so right.
Well, I was thinking of Wisconsin 2012. I couldn't get it out of my mind.
Yeah.
I'm curious what the thought process is of a head football coach when you send your players out there in a clutch moment like that. Do you think, oh, I hope he makes it? Or what's your thought process during that?
You know, I don't know if I really have a thought process. It's kind of getting into the minute and the situation. And when it comes down, you know it's the last kick. You've just done so much to try to help them position themselves to get in that spot and, you know, make sure that you do everything to not have disaster strike. The first thing I do when I saw that play, I just want to see how they're lining up, if they're bringing all 11 guys pressure. And they didn't, which was a little surprising. They really only brought about 9 guys, and there was two guys kind of waving their hands in the air. So that I felt a little better about that. And then you just hold – yeah, you're nervous, a little bit puckered up in those situations. But you really, when those three kids go out there as a tandem and those other 8 guys follow them out on the field, I feel really good about the chances that that ball is going to go through. But the feeling when they make it is and go win that thing is, you know, the first thing for me is keep your old fanny away from all that celebration because you don't need to get knocked out there. So stay out of that a little bit. And then number two is just it's such an awesome feeling to see those kids be able to celebrate and enjoy each other and work so hard to get a victory like that.
So I was trying to rack my mind a little bit with Eberle. I didn't remember, and he confirmed it, there really never was one of those big time 5 seconds left, kick the field goal, tie or win the game, you know, kind of those situations for him. And so I asked him, I mean, how do you prepare for that? And he said, well, we do some things in practice, but what as a coach do you do in fall and during the season to try to replicate pressure on kids?
Well, again, we'll do that a lot. We'll bring him up in during camp, during the season at certain times and scenarios and just say, okay, there's 5 seconds left, you got to kick it. And the kids make that way more obnoxious than it is on game day, regardless of the noise or whatever, because they put him in a little tunnel in the close quarters and, you know, yelling at him and whatever they're doing to get in his way, cause him some problems. And you try to create a competitive environment for every situation you possibly can. And we do that for the kickers. Do we do it all the time, every single week? No, but Coach Collins puts them out there in those quick situations, those quick scenarios where you come out and say, okay, you know, it's we got to go. You got 10 seconds left. You got to sprint off the sidelines and kick the ball. Coach Collins does that every single week with the kids.
Got another question. This should be a fun one. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Coach.
Hi, Aaron.
So we were kind of wondering who would win in a fight between Coach Salt and Coach Frank.
Ooh, that's a good
Who's the first one?
Coach Salt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Coach Salt, Coach Frank. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I think the first – so let's just say it's a two-round, 1 minute fight, okay? All right, I'm going to give the first round to Junior, just an edge the first round, but then Frank will bludgeon him in the second round because Junior will run out of gas. So I'm going to go that Frank could get him in the end.
Okay, so I'm going to follow up. Could you, if you were promised the Mountain West Championship, could you take them both on?
For how long? Because I'm going to lose. Yes, I would, but I'm going to lose. But how long do I have to get beat up?
You got to take them on for a whole minute.
A minute? Yeah, sure. Okay, I'll take their best shot. I can bite, and I'll do. I won't have any problem cheating.
All right, thanks.
In that setting,
some below the belt.
Thanks, coach. Really appreciate it.
The shots. Whatever we got to do. You know, it's funny. Before the BYU game, somebody was asking Kalani about because there's so much familiarity between the staffs, and if he could put a team together. And he goes, I think Justin could give me a few snaps. He goes, Frank certainly can.
Yeah.
He said he couldn't anymore.
Yeah. No. But I guarantee if we put our staff one-on-one in a ring, I wouldn't be in the ring. But if our staff goes in the ring and against anybody in the country, we'll bludgeon them.
Oh.
Yeah.
You've got by far the most intimidating-looking staff in college football.
Yeah, we would definitely win. If it was just to get everybody in a ring and the last man standing, I guarantee you we're national champs.
Absolutely. Guaranteed. Absolutely on that one.
Guaranteed.
All right. Any other questions? Feel free to raise your hand. We'd love to hear from you as well. If not, we'll let Coach get out of here and a chance to chat with Aaron Dalton. Maybe we'll ask him the same question about the team as well. You know, who are the toughest guys on the team?
And Aaron, look at him. He's pointing to himself.
Aaron's like, I'll go. Let's go.
Specialist rule, bro.
I like it. Hey, thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
There
go
you
Aggies.
Go. Gary Anderson, head coach of the Utah State Aggies. Coming up next, Riley Burt, Aaron Dalton, straight ahead. Right here on the Aggie Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. All right, welcome on back. You're listening to the Gary Anderson Coaches Show. We're live here at Wingers. Love for you to stop by and hang out with us. We'll be here until for about another 15 minutes or so. And then remember, coming up next week, we'll be here as well. Time to focus in on our player profiles. We get a chance to chat with a couple members of the Utah State football team. Aaron Dalton, kind enough to join us, as well as Riley Burt. Gentlemen, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
All right. Aaron, man, obviously a tremendous punter, but the injuries have kind of added up to the point where unable to go. How difficult and how frustrating has that been for you?
Man, I don't know. It's crazy. I've been very blessed my whole life. I've never really had any injuries, hadn't really had to do anything like that. And then last year we kind of battled for a while with the back problems, and then it got to the point where we could no longer – I mean, I couldn't even bend over to try and touch my toes. And so we got fixed. Everything went really well. I mean, it was really awesome. The training staff, the doctors, the coaches, everyone was great. And, I mean, Coach A was kind enough to put his faith in me and – I mean, offer to bring me back with not knowing who I was, and very fortunate about it. And everything went well throughout the summer. And then that first game against Wake Forest, we go out there halftime, swing the leg, just same exact thing, just like a knife right in the spine. And as soon as it happened, I was like, man, like, are you serious? Like, I think it was like 1 year and a day passed since I got surgery.
Wow.
So I basically got the 1 year deal. But yeah, very frustrating, really sad. But at the same time, I mean, once I got past that and kind of stopped feeling sorry for myself, once again, very grateful just to be a part of, I mean, a new coaching staff, a great coaching staff, a new team, a lot of new guys we brought in that I didn't know. And just very, very fortunate to be able to be with the team and, share the success with them.
Riley, let's talk a little bit about you and your path. Obviously, you start down at BYU, you come up here. For this season, what was that transition like for you, and what went into that decision?
It was all pretty quick. So I announced I was transferring and talked to a couple schools and stuff. And then Coach Collins and Sanford started talking to me. And then Coach A called me that week, said, we want to have you up on a visit. So I came up that weekend, offered me, committed. So it all moved pretty quick.
So you're like, you know what? Let's not waste any time. Yep. Because and this is kind of home for you too.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in Manaway, like 30 minutes away from here.
So went to Box Elder High School, right?
Yep.
Box Elder B, by the way. There you go. Learn something new every day. Has it been kind of fun to play a little closer to home?
Yeah, it has been. I have a lot of friends come to the games and stuff. I see people in the stands I know, so that's all kind of cool.
All right, so Aaron, I want to circle back on the field goal. So a lot of people don't know the holder until something bad goes on or something goes wrong.
This is very true.
Your name did not get called. I mean, I called it. I said, you know, we laid it on who was the snapper and who was the holder, but it was kind of nice to know that that snap came back, right? You got the hold down, laces out, everything, and it went through. Just how tell us about your role in a situation like that.
What was that again?
What kind of role? No, you're all good. What kind of role do you have, and what are your preparations for a pressure moment like that?
Oh, yeah. Not even just holding, but punting, kicking, as a specialist, snapping. I mean, it's a very unique role on the team. What we do is a lot different. We get one shot.
Yeah.
We go out there, and it's almost – I mean, we know exactly what we're going to do out there. It's not going to be a different route. It's not going to be a different throw.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going to look at Pata. I'm going to give the tap. I'm going to catch and set it down. And I've been taking snaps from Pata and the other snappers for, 5.5 years
now. Yeah, you guys have a lot of history.
Done it quite a few times. And, I mean, you just got to go out there and don't make too much out of the moment. I mean, when you go out there, it's the same snap that we're taking – in May with just the battery out there, no coaches, no players,
just
no
muscle
fans.
Memory at that point.
Exactly. Yep. It's almost, if you talk to Pata, he'd tell you that it's very mind numbing. So when he sits there and he snaps, he's not even thinking. He's just going out there and reacting. And I think as the kicker and the holder, it's the same deal. So you just go out there and I look right at the ball and that's all I look at,
Set
it down and then let the crowd tell me if it's good or not. And when I'm holding for Dom, it's usually a good thing. So,
When the crowd goes quiet, you probably have a big smile on your face.
Absolutely. Right? In Fresno's case, it was very, very quiet. And that is one of the best sounds in football. It's awesome. We love playing in front of the Logan fans, but when you go on the road and you beat someone and they don't have anything to say,
when you shut up a home crowd like that.
Absolutely.
What's it like? I mean, Dom's as good as anybody in the country. Lou Groves Award finalist. Kid's a special player. What really jumps out as a fellow special teamer? What does he do well that may fly under the radar that goes into him being as good as he is?
Yeah, I don't think it's really anything specific. It's just how good he is at everything he does. It's his work ethic and it's his attention to detail. It doesn't matter if it's the spring, the summer, or if it's the game winner. He goes out there and it's the same kick. He doesn't let the moment get too big. He grinds in the off season and makes sure that he is going to be successful when his team is relying on him. So I would just say work ethic and attention to detail.
All right, so Riley, let's talk a little bit about this offense. And it's unlike a lot of other offenses out there, the speed in which you have to play. How difficult of a transition was that for you?
The speed part was a big transition. Yeah. That was really hard, I ain't going to lie. I came in maybe a couple pounds overweight and not as conditioned as I should be. So we ran a lot in the offseason. That kind of got me right. But, yeah, it's a quick-moving offense. Definitely keeps the defense on their toes.
Do you is it something that you eventually – I mean, I'm sure it was tough at first, as you mentioned, but now is it something that you enjoy being a part of?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely, for sure. It's a fun offense. It moves really fast. So, yeah, I like it.
Outside of being at home, what was it about Utah State that said, this is where I want to finish my college career?
Just the confidence the coaches had in me and, like, how sure they were about me. So other schools was talking to me, but they was kind of just talking.
Yeah.
And Coach A called me up, said he wants me here this weekend. So
Coach can be a bit of a salesman. I mean, he's hard to turn that guy down, I would imagine.
A little bit intimidating, but I see.
It's been fun watching you be a part of this team and a big part of what they do out there, because I got to imagine that's quite a running back room. When you got Bright and you got Jalen, you got yourself, you know, Enoch's coming up and he's an up-and-comer. There's a ton of talent in that room right now.
There for sure is, yeah. We have a good time in the meeting room, get a lot of work done, but we also have our time to kind of talk and hang out.
Yeah. How's the camaraderie in that group?
It's great. Everybody's friends with everybody. We don't have no beef or anything. Everybody's good.
Well, you know, and because, you know, you guys, you all want your carries and you all want your touches, but I get the sense, and, you know, look, I'm on the outside looking in. I get to hang out with you guys a little bit, but, I mean, I you can tell that you guys are genuinely rooting for each other to be successful.
Yeah, for sure. We're all for each other, and that's how the room is.
All right, so talk a little bit about these last few games. First off, let's let you go X's and O's here a little bit. What jumps out at you? Because you see this Wyoming defense, they're stout against the run.
They are. They have a top 20 defense. So really, I think our tempo is going to be like what the X factor for us, our tempo, how fast we move the ball, and big shots down the field.
And then, of course, special teams is big as well, and I know you've helped out in that special teams unit. Coach talks about how important those are, and, you know, that's probably a situation where that could win or lose this game coming up this Saturday as
Definitely. If the offense or defense isn't having a great game, special teams is somewhere where you can pick up the team and stuff like that, momentum swing.
Talk a little bit about from your perspective, special teams obviously going to be huge.
Man, yeah, I don't think there's any coach out there in the country that is more passionate or gets everyone more motivated to run down the field on special teams than Coach Collins. I'm telling you, that guy is the man, and he brings the juice every day. Doesn't matter what time it is, what day it is. I feel like we're absolutely prepared, and I think the thing is everyone loves playing for him. They love running down. They love, I mean, special teams. I haven't been a different school, obviously, but here, ever since I've been here, it is absolutely an emphasis, and when the kids on the team buy into it, that's usually when we have successful seasons, and I think we bought in, and I think we were able to change the game last year in Wyoming. Savon had that, the kick return, and that absolutely affected the game, and I think we're going to go into it expecting to have another opportunity to change the game.
You know, last year, it was kind of a combined coaching effort. There wasn't a, quote, special teams coach, and everybody kind of seemed like they helped out to a certain extent. It's got to be nice, and it was successful. It was, no disrespect to what they did last year, but this year, it's got to be nice to have a guy, like a special teams guy that you can go to.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And last year, obviously, I wasn't around a ton because I was I had surgery at the beginning of the season. But I mean, Coach Collins, he absolutely had his hand in. I mean, he'll do whatever you tell him, and then more. And I think he had quite a big hand in it last year. But yeah, especially now when you walk in and he's at the front of the meeting room for every single special teams, he plays a huge factor, and it's nice to be able to buy into one guy and his technique.
All right, final thoughts, keys to the game. Riley, we'll start with you. What do you guys need to do to get a W on Saturday?
Score in the red zone, finish drives.
Love it. You got it. You want to jump in on this?
I'm going to say let's not send out the punt unit very much, and let's just go look for 31 on the field.
I like it. And when you're holding for extra points, not field goals, how about that?
Let's go.
I like it.
Absolutely.
By the way, if there was one guy on the team you would not want to be in a in the cage with, who would it be?
Man, first thought, I'm going to have to go with either Chris Unga or Hale Motuopuaka. I mean, Chris is probably bigger, but Hale is kind of scary, man. I don't know. I would never want to be on his bad side. I don't know.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it. This was fun.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, that wraps it up for us. We'll be back with you next week. Remember, the game coming up on Saturday, basketball game tomorrow, another basketball game on Monday. They're coming fast and furious. It's a great time of year. Aggie football coming up on Saturday against Wyoming. You're listening to the Gary Anderson Coaches Show from Learfield IMG College.
On the Aggie Sports Network, this has been the Aggie Coaches Show with Coach Gary Anderson. Brought to you by Ford. Go further. Zions Bank. We haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Wingers. They're freaking amazing. And by Larry H. Miller Dealerships. Driven by you. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.